Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. Commercializing serendipity. As we all work remotely and the major conferences and networking events have morphed to digital experiences, the biggest complaint I hear is there is no serendipity, no bumping into the ultimate decision maker at the bar or hearing someone speak that opens up a whole new world of opportunity to you. We're missing that human connection and that moment where the ultimate person is sitting right next to you, hiding in plain sight. On today's show, we have James Chapman, founder and CEO of Plain Sight, a localized social networking platform that connects you with the type of people you're looking for, both online and in physical spaces. Today, we talk about the future of networking, commercializing serendipity, and creating your own powerful community. Let's get after it. James, welcome to the show, sir.
Man, thanks so much for having me, Fred. It's a pleasure to be here, brother.
Man, the last time we saw each other was at a private pitch event that Venture Fuel is putting on out in Silicon Valley. Interestingly, on the future of socialization for one of our clients. And man, that feels like at least 100 years ago, doesn't it?
Man, first off, the irony. And second off, yeah, it does feel like 100 years ago. That, I lose all sense of time with everything that's been happening with the coronavirus, man. And that seems like forever ago. You know, it was a small room with a bunch of people crowded around each other, right? And drinks and close communications, no social distancing. It was a good time, man. And I miss those days.
Man, I miss them too. And I keep thinking, like, the whole point of that conversation is, like, how do we connect with each other digitally and virtually? And it was sort of like this nice to have conversation. And it's like, man, we were on it. That was a hot topic. We just didn't know it was going to be that hot just a month or two later.
Right. And how much we really missed those days. You know, I wonder if we knew things were coming, like what would we do differently to prepare from a technology standpoint or operations standpoint? You know, we'll never know. But it's just the irony of the conversations, the type of pitch event it was, and then, you know, where we ended up, you know, just a few months later. You know, we were getting ready to go down South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
We started our partnership with Delta, and they had allowed us to go into the Delta Sky Lounge during South by Southwest. And then, like, we had booked flights and we're getting ready, and then the news hit, and we were just like, oh my God, this is awful. Like, it was crazy.
Man, I was the same boat. We were setting up all sorts of things down at South by Southwest, and all of a sudden, the C-suite of our global clients started bailing out, like, one by one.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, something big is happening. Like, these guys, they wouldn't miss this event. Like, this is something they all look forward to. And then all of a sudden, it started creeping. I was like, you know, we need to pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah, it's serious. Right. Yeah. That's when it hit. That and when the NBA. Cancel. You know, those are the two moments I was like, oh, okay, we're in this for a while and this is bad. So,
yeah. Dude, it's so funny you say that. My mom was going to fly up to New York for a wedding shower of a friend. And I was like, Mom, it's serious. Like, you should not get on a plane. You should not get on a plane. And the NBA, when they pulled the players off the court, I called my mom and I was like, if the NBA is not going to let them play, like, you're not allowed to get on a plane. And like, that was the NBA was what actually persuaded my mom to like stay put.
Yeah,
so.
No, that was a big moment because like it was live, right? It was a morning of and no games were being played yet or, you know, players were practicing and then they made the announcement. It was like, no, shut it down right now. Like don't even finish this game that's had like any of these games that are happening in real time, shut it down. And that, you know, it was like, oh, okay, this is really serious. Yeah.
So let's get into the evolution of sort of networking and events. But first, I want to start with the origin story of Plain Sight, maybe a little bit of background on why you started the company and what was the impetus behind that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I used to run this shared workspace for side hustlers. The space was open between 6 p.m. and midnight for people to come in and collaborate. You know, coffee shops close at 6 o'clock. Everybody's working at home. And so I just wanted everybody to have a concentrated space. To be able to get things done. I was working around the clock anyway. And so the number one question that people would ask me when they would come to the space or before they got there, they'd say, yo, chap, who's at the space right now? Or who's going to be at the space tonight? Or can you help me get connected to somebody that's into this or that does that? And I just realized that, like, this is a problem, right? Like, think about all of the opportunities that people are missing out on because they don't know this information of who can they collaborate with, even though they're in close proximity to them. So that's how this whole thing started. Like, I wanted to solve that problem for something I was, like, experiencing in real time for people that I was trying to serve.
That's really cool. And then what I really like this phrase that I read about that you mentioned called, like, commercializing serendipity. And I mentioned it sort of in the intro, but this idea of going to a conference and meeting somebody that either you weren't planning to meet or maybe you hoped to meet, right? You went to the conference for that person, but it just sort of happened. Can you talk about that phrase a little bit and what it means maybe now?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so, you know, we can't control who we meet or the experiences that we have. And to me, that puts us in a position where we'll never be able to reach our greatest potential. If we are truly products of our environment and the people that we meet and the experiences that we have shift and shape us and make us who we are as individuals, right? We need to be in more control and have more access to be able to connect with other people in real time, right? And so, like, that's what I mean when I say that we're commercializing serendipity. Like 40% of people end up doing business with somebody that they just met on a plane randomly and had a conversation with, right? Like, we could take those numbers up if you just knew who the people were. So with Plain Sight, we show you the skills, the interests, the professions of people that are around you, all within a geophase location area. They can check in into a physical space or a virtual space, and they'll be able to see these profiles. And then we send these curated notifications to people to let them know that the type of people that they're looking for are in their area, right? And from there, it's just up to the people, right? Like we're just a platform. We're going to be that tool. We're going to make it easy for you to connect with people that are in the area based on the things that you're looking for and the type of people that you want to build with, and just let things go from there because we just feel like everybody should have that access.
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting business challenge. And when we're running accelerators for our corporate clients, you know, we do a lot of mentorship and people, you know, the founders in particular are always like, oh, how do you know these people? Oh my gosh, like, do you know somebody that can do packaging? Do you know somebody, you know, who might invest in our business? And I start to realize that so much of what is special about my company is our network of people we've gotten to know. And we've worked very hard at getting to know them, right? But so much of it, when I try to do something, like, I turn to people I've met before, right? Because you trust them, you met them for a reason. So expanding that network, right? It's why LinkedIn is a big deal. And I think what you guys are doing is so interesting because it's allowing people that are, and I mean this in the best way, like-minded, which is a dangerous phrase, I think, but it's also a powerful one, right? Like, people that are trying to get things done, trying to hustle, that are interested in creativity. How do you meet other people like that so that you can all kind of, you know, work together to accelerate whatever your game plan is?
That's right. And it's like, who also has the common, like, interest that I have, right? Like, so it's one thing for me to be able to do business with somebody just because they can provide a need and then I can provide a need in return, right? Like a mutually beneficial relationship and all of that's great. But like, if I like basketball and you like basketball and you know what I mean, and I can provide a service that you need, I'm more so want to do business with somebody like you because you understand me in some other way outside of just this service or product that I have to offer you. You know what I'm saying? And I think that matters. And so we're trying to pull on that thread, right? So that's what, you're not wrong by saying, like, people want to do business with other like-minded people. Like, people want to do business with people that they have things in common with. And so we should just show them that, you know, just put that out there. And, you know, if you don't want to connect, you don't have to, right? If somebody shoots you a message and you don't want to respond, you know, don't respond. But I think just giving people the opportunity to connect with like-minded people on the things that matter most to them, I think people should have that ability.
One of the things you guys have added and sort of pivoted to, I guess, is this idea of, like, virtual houses and sort of, you know, getting a group together around a theme. What are the most popular virtual houses on your site right now?
Yeah, man. So, you know, we started off wanting to connect people who are in fast-paced, high-density physical spaces, right? And now that everybody's at home, I feel like our platform is even more useful because how do you make new connections when you have to be at home? You know, you can't visit actual physical space like that anymore. So we're just creating high density virtual spaces, right? And letting people do their thing there. So that's the concept of these houses, right? And so in many major cities across the country, we already have Founders House, Creatives House, Developers House, and Civic House. Those are kind of like our four key plain site houses, and we'll continue to list more and more. And then we want other groups and organizations to get in on the action. So if your group or organization wants a virtual networking house for the members of your community to be able to collaborate and stay connected with each other, you would list a themed house on our platform. General Assembly is a perfect example of that. General Assembly has a house listed on Plainsight for people to be able to go and hear about General Assembly, for their alums to be able to check in into that space. And then also when they run different events and programming, what they'll do is they'll tell people, yeah, get on the Zoom, but check into our house so that you can connect and collaborate with the people who are in this virtual audience, as well as like during this event, as well as after the event, right? So that's what we're doing with the house.
Yeah, I'd like it a lot. I did a big like angel investing conference, I guess you could call it. And they created a Slack channel. And it was the same kind of idea, right? Like everyone that was there was somewhat invested or around angel investing. And it was such a good idea, but it was just a Slack, right? Like it sort of like lacked interestingness. And you didn't get to know somebody because it was like, I was talking to, you know, at XYZ. BBQ, and I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Like,
yeah, or what they have to offer, or if I can offer them something that's beneficial, right? Like you need to. And see, here's the thing: right now, people are trying to hijack these other platforms that weren't built for this, right? Like from the genesis, we were built for networking, we were built for collaboration, we were built for connecting people on things that matter to them. And so, like, I think once people hear about Plainsight and we really get the word out, people are going to be like, okay, this is where I'm going to find my tribe. This is where I'm going to make new meaningful connections, whether I'm at home or in physical spaces, right? And I think, you know, thanks for this opportunity to talk about what we're building, because I think people just need to know, and not so that Plainsight can thrive. Like I really want people to have more access to human capital, and we can create that. And, you know, other tools just aren't made for that, because to your point, it doesn't give you enough information, and the design is not set up for collaboration, and neither are like the curated experiences are missing from that piece.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny, I'm just thinking about, and I'd love for you to sort of answer this too, is one of the challenges with creating something like this, and I'm thinking about it from like a conference standpoint, or if we did a venture fuel house, right, or whatever, is like the salesperson, right, that gets in there and it just becomes, I always think of that. There was an old Dave Chappelle skit from his show a ways back when it was like Dave Chappelle interpreting the internet, like if the internet was like a physical space, and it was like him walking through the mall, right, and all these pop-up ads like kept coming up and like scaring him basically. And I think that's like most people's like fear of any conference, right? It's like, it's just going to be like, they're getting bombarded with unnecessary solicitations. So how do you guys sort of block that and make it more collaborative? Is it this opt-in capability?
Yeah, that's it. So like the good thing about Plainsight is we don't do names and we don't do profile pictures. And we allow you to share as much or as little information that you would like to in your profile. So you can add your website, you can add your LinkedIn link, you can add your Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, right? Whatever you want to put in there. And then also in your profile, the rest of the things are like what we call tag-based. So you can click on these little like description tags that describe you. So it's like, what are your skills? What are you looking for? What are you looking to do? Et cetera, et cetera. And so because it's opt-in and because it's anonymous to a certain degree, I think that anonymity combats a lot of the what I call thirstiness, right? So now you have people like almost forced to connect on the things that really matter and forced to connect on the things that like find interesting. And now I know what you want before you even like get to me. You know what I'm saying? So like if I can see what your intentions are and what you're looking for and what your skills are, I already know if you're somebody that I want to build with or I don't, right? And so I don't have to waste as much time with a lot of the back and forth, and then we later on describe or find out that like we're just not a match. And the last thing that I'll say around that is we categorize even the type of posts that you make on Plainsight to get away from a lot of like the salesy stuff and like me pushing my products out there and that kind of stuff. So we ask you to post. The categories are looking for news, inspiration, offering help, like all of these things that are really going to help you build community and genuinely collaborate with people. So we haven't seen a lot of like the salesy stuff happen on the platform, but we definitely want to continue to make and create safeguards, because as we grow, we're going to have to always be thinking about those things. There's always going to be a hack for somebody to try to be overly salesy if they want to be.
2 weeks before the pandemic, I presented to my team that we were going to double down on in-person events. They were the ultimate biz dev tool for us, and it was a way for us to get smarter and faster through speakers and workshops. Apps like Plain Sight have helped us bridge this gap during the pandemic and are starting to create new opportunities for serendipity. We already talked about the workspace in Chattanooga, and it's clear you have this, you know, knack and passion for creating community. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what you did beforehand with like Detroit Demo Day?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I was working on the workspace, helping the side hustlers. And that was actually what kind of got me on the radar for some of the stakeholders here in Detroit, was like this entrepreneur who's also helping other entrepreneurs, and like, what if we partnered with him to build out something? And so I ended up like flying up and having a few conversations with those folks. And from that, pitched this idea to them, which is Detroit Demo Day, an annual $1.2 million pitch competition for companies that are based in Detroit to be able to grow and scale. And they can receive anywhere between $50,000 and $300,000 for their business. And it's a true like representation of what Detroit entrepreneurship looks like, because it's, you know, I mean, you've got bakeries and barbershops and tech companies, right? Like, you know, across the gambit. And it's hard to find something like that, which is quite an experience. And we make it a big event. Like TI performed at the last year demo day when we could do it in person. Wyclef Jean has performed, Common has performed. So like, we make it a true celebration of Detroit entrepreneurship. And I just think that, you know, with that work, I was connecting people to capital in a way, like monetary capital, and now I'm connecting people to human capital. But I think that people who are what we call go-getters and have that ambition to grow and scale, like their passion, you know, I'm fascinated by that. And I want to help with that. And it gives me fulfillment.
So one of the things I thought of when the sort of pandemic hit was, and you mentioned it before, but like, you guys were on this like fast track. You were working with Delta to like connect people when they hit the Delta Sky Lounge, you know, and like you and I talked about this a lot at the pitch event that we had. How does that all change now in the future, right? Like, what are your thoughts around this as, you know, things are going to obviously continue to evolve and hopefully get better, but maybe your thoughts on networking, both virtually and in person, looking forward?
Yeah, I think people are going to have to be super intentional about networking and super intentional about going out and finding a community and collaborating with people. And it's going to be hard. I think 2021, man, it's going to be so tough because, you know, even with the vaccines and all of that kind of stuff on the way, it's going to be a little while before we can get back to how things were, right? Like 100% how things were. Everybody knows that. And so because of that, because of networking is already difficult and finding new meaningful connections is already a challenge, people are going to have to be extra, extra intentional about seeking out platforms so that they can find and build community. Because when we meet people to do business with, right, that makes us better. And so I think platforms like ours, like what we're building in Plain Sight, are going to be super, super critical and super, super important to people throughout the next year and even after that. And then, you know, now what does it look like to actually transition back into, you know, a physical component where we're meeting with people and connecting with people and it feels safe to do so? I think we're still going to need technology to help us out in that way. So, you know, in a sense, we've become even more valuable during the pandemic than we were, you know, pre-pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about our business, like, I used to go to probably too many conferences, but I did it because it was like executive education for me. Like, I learned stuff listening to the speakers, meeting new people, but it was also biz dev, right? Because I would bump into somebody that either I could work with or knew somebody that I could work with. And it's been a real effort on my end since then, like sort of being like, okay, how do we meet new people? How do we find our contacts? But also like, how do I keep growing personally, right, in my career and get smarter and do those things? And so that's what I was really impressed with what you all are building and what that opportunity is. if you can start to bring people together that challenge and excite one another and can help everyone move forward.
That's right. That's right. And you can't just do it. I mean, we can attend these Zoom events and Zoom conferences all we want to, right? But we need to carry on collaborations and we need to carry on connections with people, right? Even outside of those small segment windows, and do so in an intentional way, because, you know, I'm going crazy being in the house. I'm not going to lie to you, right? Like just, I could be a social butterfly, man. And so like being in the house, not able to just toss around ideas with people and throw stuff up on a whiteboard or just like, hey man, I'm James. Like, you know, tell me your story. You know what I mean? And then end up doing business with that person. I miss that. And you know, that serendipity, as we mentioned in the very beginning of the segment, is gone. Serendipity is at an all-time low. And so we got to come together to boost that back up.
I agree completely. I'd like to get your point of view on, I'll call it innovation with air quotes all around it, for big companies, right? I know you were doing a lot of this with Quicken Loans. You're working with folks like Delta. How do you think that this sort of outside thinking entrepreneur mindset can actually help large companies as much as it can disrupt them?
Yeah. I mean, I think right now, people are going to have to be really, really innovative. And they're going to really be having to think about like how we can solve problems in new and unique ways, because there's something new with the world every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like every 2 weeks, things are evolving and changing and shifting. And corporate usually can't work that fast. They usually can't bend and adapt and adjust that quickly to things, but startups can. And so I think that the more that corporate can kind of use startups to have, you know, an ear to the street, so to speak, you know what I mean, about like what's going on and how things are changing and how things are shifting, and then how they can partner with those startups to be able to be more nimble and be able to adjust on a dime in a time that's uncertain, when they probably have so many like employees around the country and so many different vendors that they're working with around the world and things of that nature, right? Like, you're going to want to be able to know what's going on in the business community, from the little guy all the way up to the big guys. And I think that because startups are constantly thinking about how to shift and evolve and how to pivot and how to grow and things of that nature, we could be a huge value add to the corporations for some brainstorming on those things.
Yeah, I agree. So James, what's next for Plain Sight? Where are you planning to take this?
Yeah. So for us, you know, we want to get the word out as much as we possibly can. We want to sign up a lot of virtual houses and allow people to create these themed houses. I'm kind of in love with the house concept that we've created, and just stay diligent. You know, we're young, we're a year old, which means that we've been in the pandemic longer than we haven't been, which is, you know, crazy to even think about. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, we're going to keep pushing forward. We're going to keep helping people. We're going to fundraise again next year. And so, you know, I think for us, it just looks like one day at a time, and continue to try to listen to our users and see how we can help people make connections, whether they're at home or in person from a social distance.
Love it. Where can people go to learn more about Plain Sight and check out the houses?
Yeah, absolutely. So to download the app, just search Plain Sight, PlainSight, with the first thing that comes up in your app store. On the houses, just go to our website, plainsight.app/houses, and that'll come right up, and you'll be able to see all things about that. And man, thanks so much for the opportunity to discuss the business. And then also just to chop it up, man, it's been really good connecting.
Man, I always enjoy talking to you. Thanks so much for making the time, and we'll make sure to send everyone to the right spot.
Absolutely, man. Cheers.
All right. Take care.
Peace.
Thanks so much for joining us. Hit us up at Venture Fuel on LinkedIn. I want to know what you thought of this episode, of innovation in general, and if there are any guests you think we should have on. Until next time.